This is the Pitch Podcast, episode 38. This is the Pitch Podcast, delivering publicity ahas, insider secrets, and the dish on what it really takes to build buzz for your business. I'm Amanda Berlin, a former corporate publicity strategist, now using my powers for good, helping entrepreneurs come up with their messages, write their business stories, position themselves as experts, and get the media to say yes. On the Pitch Podcast, I interview entrepreneurs to help strategize their next media pitch or decode their media success. And I talk with journalists to get the secrets on what it takes to pitch high-level media from insiders who make the decisions. This podcast is for you if you feel like you've built it, yet they haven't come, and you want to know how to raise your business profile through the media. It's for you if you believe, like I do, that everyone has something important to say, that there are people out there who need to hear from us, and it's up to us to raise our voices and make sure they can find us. I'm glad you're here. Now let's get to the show. This is the Pitch Podcast. I'm Amanda Berlin, and I'm here today with Margot Tirado. Hi, Margot.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. Let me tell our audience a little bit about you. Margot is a licensed clinical professional counselor who received her master's degree in clinical psychology from Wheaton College. She has over 25 years of clinical experience in the field of psychology, including community mental health, residential and milieu therapies, and currently owns a thriving private practice in Hinsdale, Illinois. She's an adjunct professor at Huntington University and a sought-after speaker regarding a series of original workshops she has developed, which focus on helping women find their voice. Well, we are definitely of like mind. I can't wait to dive into what you're doing and who you are and what you're all about. So why don't you tell me a little bit about who you are and what you do in your own words.
Thank you. And you know, it's interesting because what I do is what I am, and it is part of my own evolution story. The training that I have is in psychotherapy. And like my most therapists, I was trained in the classics of therapy, mm-hmm. cognitive behavioral therapy, insight-oriented therapy, family systems, etc. And as I moved into my career, kind of stuck with the classics, working alongside men, women, children in a number of settings. About 4 years ago, after about it's probably 7 or 8 sessions that I had had in a day, I was finishing my work day and I felt, Amanda, like I was having this Groundhog's Day experience, which was, why do I feel like while I just worked with 7 or 8 different women, there was a consistency that I began to notice with the women that I was working with, kind of a trail of behaviors or a collection of patterns that each woman needed to kind of create a hurdle over or get past in order to take the next step in their therapeutic goals. Mm-hmm. And so I began to look through my notes and look at some of the patterns. I have a colleague that I was working with at the time. I had a long conversation with her and began to interview her. What are the things that you are noticing arising over and over again with the women specifically that you are working with as a counselor? And she also noticed the same pattern. And this was an aha moment for me in the process of developing my work with women, because while psychotherapy is developed out of a gender-neutral position,
right,
the feminine spirit is not gender-neutral. We're just not gender-neutral. And I needed to take a step back and really begin to look at what are those challenges that are more specific to us as women, the feminine spirit. And as I began to document those, I created sessions and exercises for women built on those findings.
Okay. I am dying to know what these patterns are and what you found.
Well, there was a number of patterns that I see as women are more apt to struggle with. And okay. When I begin to talk about them, I'm not saying that men don't struggle with those same things, mm-hmm. but I also notice that these tend to be challenges that are definitely more common to women. Mm-hmm. And when I take some of these same things and I do the clinical work with men, they just don't respond mm-hmm. in the same way as women. So the first thing, which is, I think if a woman gets to nothing else in their life work and understanding who am I and where does that take me in my life work, it's this. It's understanding the voices that you are listening to. Mm-hmm. So if you think about the feminine soul, I want you to think about a Kleenex. I have a Kleenex in my hand. And the Kleenex is soft and it's pliable and it just kind of moves where you move it with your fingers. Mm-hmm. And if you take a glass of water and you pour the water on the Kleenex absorbs the water. And the Kleenex then begins to change the shape of mm-hmm. who it is and what it looks like. This is very common finding that I see within women that I work with. Mm-hmm. The feminine spirit has a greater tendency to absorb voices, mm-hmm. to absorb messages into their spirit. And those voices, when unnoticed, unidentified, unnamed, unchallenged, really steer women mm-hmm. in how they think about work, how they think about relationships, how they do or do not move into the giftedness that I believe every woman inherently owns. So mm-hmm. that was a big one. Mm-hmm. So it's really helping women identify those voices and write over them, inviting other voices, her own voice, mm-hmm. And her own perspective.
I could see how that would be really powerful. It's getting the wheels turning for me, even just hearing it from a conceptual basis.
You know, I tell stories because, or use metaphors, because this is the second thing that I notice women respond to. Mm. While men may, when they teach, men tend to teach in a hierarchy of patterns with bullet points. Mm-hmm. But when women learn, I find that they respond to storytelling. They respond to metaphors. They tend to respond to other people's narratives.
Right. Yeah, I like that also from the perspective of what I do, because it helps us put things in context so much more easily. Concepts become tangible when you hear them in the context of a story, and you can extrapolate so much more easily when you contextualize something.
Absolutely. The other challenge that I notice frequently arising from women, and Amanda, this is with, you know, an 18-year-old that has just graduated from high school, all the way to women that I work with who are doctors, mm-hmm. who are lawyers, who are, you know, truly successful in their own field. And that is, we've heard of this term before, the TR effect, mm-hmm. and it's perfectionism, and the perfectionism that gets in the way of allowing that woman to move into who they are called to be. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I do, which is not typical in the counseling world, but I have decided when I'm working with clients that I need to write over that Tiara experience by sharing my own vulnerabilities, mm-hmm. by talking about some of my own stories where I have struggled, where, you know, what are the voices within my own head, really demonstrating and inviting them to look past the need to be perfect or with perfection and really move into what are the ugly, beautiful moments in their life.
Right. Yeah, that actually brings me to something that is really important in a publicity journey, but also really important just for me to know in terms of background, is what is your personal stake in all of this? And how did this evolve for you personally? Where were you you know, before in your life and career, where was this epiphany that led you in the direction of creating this modality that's, you know, specialized to women, and how is it serving you now? So I'd love to know that personal behind the scenes story.
Absolutely. Well, my story is actually a lot of my own story, and that is really moving from a place of behind the shadows and into the light, mm-hmm. and also looking at what are the things that were happening in my life that helped me find my voice. But the aha moment was actually again in a session mm-hmm. where I realized I am working with one woman at a time, one mm-hmm. woman at a time. And that's very important and impactful. But I began to wonder what would happen if I could reach more than one woman at a time to help them change these patterns that I see frequently arising mm-hmm. with women. And so this is when I began to shift. I made a personal, professional decision to work exclusively with women. So all of my clients now are women. Mm-hmm. To branch out into public speaking, to branch out into workshops that are specific to these patterns that I right. see mm-hmm. emerging with women, as well as a blog mm-hmm. And a book that's also in the works.
Oh, excellent.
And so what I began to do was really listen to my own voice mm-hmm. and say, you know, if this is what you feel called to do, then I wanted to put all of myself and all of my life work into that goal for the remainder of my career.
Fabulous.
And yeah. that is helping women find their voice through speaking, blogging, writing. Now, keeping in mind that I'm a trained psychotherapist, I've been doing this and I do it really well for 25 years. Mm-hmm. As a teacher, it's very intuitive to me. It's very natural. I can speak and teach metaphors very easily. But writing and blogging and podcasting is all a new, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm developing some new ways of thinking and learning. So my learning curve is high,
right.
but I also have this, I must do it and fight the fear
right.
that and move into the risk taking of that, because I feel so compelled to get these messages out to women.
That's really powerful. And that's something I encounter over and over again with people when we start talking about publicity, because inevitably the question comes up, who wants to talk to me about me? And really, it's not about that. It really is about taking a stand for something, being able to stand behind your philosophies, what you teach, your product, whatever it may be, whatever your message is, and putting yourself out there as a person of service to whatever audience you're speaking to.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite workshops that I do, Amanda, is called Risky Women.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an invitation to women to lean into fear, learn how to take risk, to be willing to fail in order to succeed,
right.
and kind of ride over that internal dialogue that keeps them from moving out and from moving from standing in the shadows to walking out into the light.
Right. So what have you been doing to date to get the word out there about this, you know, your shift in business and, you know, your effort to reach more people?
Well, the first thing I did is my colleague and I did created a one-day Dash conference,
okay.
which is a one-day workshop for women based on what we see are these unique feminine patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And we produced, developed, wrote the workshop, and we have it regularly, wanting to test out, are women responding to these patterns, to these challenges, to these exercises that we are inviting them to do. So the first thing was to test it through workshops. Then that led into being invited to be a public speaker at a number of women's retreats.
Mm-hmm.
And women who own businesses where they have a high number of women on staff,
okay.
inviting me to work with their women on staff, doing one-on-one coaching and workshops for their staff, which I have loved,
mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing more exciting to me in life than watching a woman move from point A to point B. And really whining over those messages of I can't do it, or I am not good enough, or I am insignificant, or what do I have to say, and really helping them work through those things. More recently, I have launched a blog.
Mm-hmm.
With bi-monthly nuggets of information that I hope will encourage women in their work, their ministry, their relationships, one step at a time.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it sounds like a lot of the work that you're doing to empower women to sort of rise up and, you know, own their life and their experience and speak truthfully from, you know, from an authentic place is really the backbone of what you are stepping into as well to get this work out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if women can define this is the pattern that interrupts me from being my best self and finding my voice, then that's the magic. For example, women often confuse being kind and gentle and forgiving with, I hope I can say this on your podcast, having a high tolerance for crap.
Right.
They confuse those. And once you begin to define, this is the difference between having a high tolerance for behavior or conversations or way the people are treating you and really lowering the tolerance for that versus what women consider to be kind or gentle or forgiving. I love helping women. That's another pattern that I see quite frequently with women. I love helping women look at the differences in those things because then that allows them to set appropriate emotional boundaries, to trust their voice and their body, which was saying this, that was not okay. This is not okay.
Right.
I need to do something about that.
Right. Okay. So, what are, when it comes to getting the word out there about your workshops, about working with you, what are the burning questions that kind of remain within you about how do I get the word out there? How do I do this publicity thing?
The burning questions I have are, like, for example, there's several shows that I watch that I love that inspire.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I am missing the step between what does it take to connect my message with another person's message that is already out there. How do I make the connection with the person in that industry that then can connect what they're already doing in this movement of helping women find their voice with what I know as a psychotherapist to be really valuable information for women.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk specifics then. What shows are you speaking of?
One of my favorite shows recently is The Broad Experience.
Okay.
I love her podcast. She, Ashley Milne-Tite, is so smart and clever in the way she opens up the dialogue with women to think about how to be more successful at the workplace, in business, in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And she really invites an incredible collection of speakers to open that dialogue and invite more perspective on how to also invite women to have a greater platform.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is amazing. I love this. I actually quickly Googled The Broad Experience. I think this is totally attainable for you. And one of the things that I love about what you're doing is the professional acumen that you bring to this conversation around women's empowerment, because you're not another coach that's coming to the table saying, I'm a coach for women and I'm going, you know, blah, blah, blah. You have 25 years of clinical experience. You've noticed throughout those years a definitive pattern in the women that you've treated. And you can speak to, you know, and this may be the bones of what you might pitch to whatever podcast or outlet you will reach out to, but I think your genius comes in when you say, here are the top three patterns that we've noticed in our collective, however many years of, you know, if you're talking about your team, how many years of clinical experience, we have noticed this time after time after time. Here's the way that women are, you know, however you want to phrase it, getting in their own way, holding themselves back, how they, without even realizing it. I would try to say that in the least cliche way possible. but I think offering up that intellectual property, that those definitive patterns is really where, along with your credentials, is really where you can differentiate yourself.
So really leaning into the clinical experience that I have as it relates to what I've observed.
Exactly.
And somebody once asked me, like, how do you document the research? You know, do I have graphs and lengths of documentation that show these patterns? I do not. Mm-hmm. But I have thousands of clinical moments and experiences because I am trained in noticing meta-motion, meta-communication, meta-behavior, really understanding the fine print of human behavior. But more importantly, in the last four and five years specifically, I've studied this. Study the feminine spirit, the feminine soul, and begin to pair those together.
Yeah, so that's another thing that I would mention as well. So if there's if there was a definitive track to your study of the feminine spirit, the feminine soul, I would detail that as well, so that it's coupled with your 25 years of clinical experience. So these are the things, you know, I asked about your evolution, these are the things that really set you apart, are these very specific details of how you arrived at what you're doing today. And if, you know, we really do, for better or worse, believe in these credentials, you know, like they really do instill a degree of trust. So I would play that up, definitely.
Okay. I also love that without knowing it, a lot of the women, for example, Ashley Milne-Tite, she's already found her voice. Mm-hmm. And these tend to be the women that I follow on a blog or follow online or follow through storytelling. You know, it's really watching at what they are already doing. As they, when they have found their voice in their platform, and noticing that they have probably already accomplished changing some of those behaviors.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's in, you know, I always advocate whenever you're pitching an influencer or a journalist, really connect with them personally. So, you know, I think that's a great way to make a connection is by saying, you know, I really admire how you found your voice. You've clearly done a lot of work to get where you are, not just professionally, but I'm sure personally as well. And here's what I've noticed, you know, and you can go into what you've noticed about women in general.
So use that in the introduction of my pitch.
Yeah,
in terms of relating the work that I'm doing with what I see in them.
Yeah, I think that's viable. I think that you know, in a general sense, I always advocate making a succinct connection with what the influencer or broadcaster is doing or who they are. So I think that would be a way for you to do that.
Well, I admit to you, Amanda, it's why I began to follow your newsletters. When I read about your story and how you listened to your voice, that you needed to make a move, that you really pushed through the fear and took a risk and aligned your life work with your voice. And it really came across as you told your story when you launched your newsletter.
Thank you.
And I mean, that is one of the reasons I follow you, because one thing I say over and over again when I teach, when I work, probably 70% of what I have learned I have learned from the women that I've had the honor of journeying with. Mm-hmm. And I continue to notice that and look for that with the women that I follow as well. There is so much that we can learn from each other and really noticing what is this person doing that's taken them from point A to point B.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I think that the influential women broadcasters that you're interested in are a good market for you to put your story to, because you're speaking to them in a way.
Yes, and we need to get women's voices out there. This morning, and I opened my bell box. Today, I got the Harvard Business Review, so I take it and I open it, and I'm starting to read through it. And what I notice over and over again is 8 of the 10 articles were written by men.
Mm-hmm.
There was one article written by a woman, and the second article that was written by a woman was written in tandem with a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if we can help women work through some of these challenges and patterns and find their unique voice, I think we can really then equip them and empower them to bring their voice to a much, much needed world.
Right. So actually what you're saying is really sparking a couple of ideas for me in terms of additional outlets you could pursue with your message, because you can really speak to, so you mentioned a Harvard Business Review, you could speak to a business audience about how these patterns that you found in working with women are holding women back in business. You could speak to a parenting audience about how these patterns that you've identified in women are holding them back from being the parent that they want to be. You could speak to, you get what I'm saying here, you could speak to a health and wellness audience about how these patterns are holding, so on and on and on, for different audiences. You can tailor this message with the same research that you've developed, the same philosophies for different audiences.
And I know there's a lot of conversation out there, which I love, about why women are not represented as much as men, and are the men or society, or what is it culturally that's holding us back? All I know is that we play such an important part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we holding ourselves back? I believe that if we equip women more and more to find their voice, they will move forward with the confidence they need. In whatever area of business that they feel called and compelled to work. I think that women, as women, we can learn that. I know that because that's my story.
Right.
You know, that's my own story of finding my voice from a little young Chicana girl from Española, New Mexico, moving to Illinois, becoming educated, working at finding my voice, and sharing those principles and stories with other women. And I also want to come alongside women and help them be successful and be who they are called and compelled to be, in the same way that so many other women have done that in my own life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that little abbreviated version of your personal journey should absolutely be part of your pitch as well, and your professional story. I think it's very compelling.
In terms of my own journey and how I found my
mm-hmm.
voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that can be part of it. Yeah. So the way that I would suggest you going about this is, you know, finding the outlet you want to pitch. Let's say it is the broad experience, and making a connection with the broadcaster, delivering the content of what you the story idea of what you would talk about, talking about why you would be the perfect person to deliver this information, which is your personal and professional story, essentially. And, you know, these need to be delivered in a very concise manner, but, you know, content rich and substantial. And then I would also talk about, you know, where you, what your credentials are, where you've been, what you've experienced, where you've been featured in the past, and anything that can dictate your, or that can explain your media platform, where you teach, and things like that. You know, you want to show that you are the perfect person to deliver this information.
And so if I'm going to pitch in a place like the Broad Experience, do I need to have a lot more exposure out there and build a greater platform than I have currently? Or can I start with where I am at today in the evolution of moving from in the office to working with more women? Do I need to gain a larger platform before I do that? Or can I do that where I am at today in this evolution?
I think that you can give it a shot. You know, this, I've heard of Ashley Milne-Tight. I've heard of her. So, and I'm trying to figure out where I've heard of her. Is she a public radio personality?
Yes, she is.
Okay, that's where I've heard of her. So, you know, you might start with someone like that who's kind of like a, you know, an, let's say an A-list journalist. You might start by making connections on social media with her, by reaching out on Twitter, or even just sending an email that's just complimenting the work, making a connection, start building the relationship. And that may take place over time. You know, you may need to do that for many months before, you know, there's maybe a little bit of interaction. But I never would say, I would say with a podcast, I think that you really can't go wrong necessarily. If you were going to say, like, I want to reach out to the Today Show today and see what they say, then I would say, you know, dial it back a little bit and get your platform, your media platform going first. But with a podcast, I think that it's more democratized than ever, and a great idea is what's going to get you on the air. So I would say give it a shot by starting to build the relationship and starting to brainstorm that your peak idea that will get you on the air.
And I really like what you said earlier, which are, these are the top three patterns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while there are 8 to 10, really focusing on the top three.
Mm-hmm.
And when I talk about those top three, do I talk about those three that are most, that have the biggest impact on women, that might be the most interesting?
I think that you need to pick the ones that you feel most passionate about, that you really get fired up about, that you see are having the biggest negative impact, or, you know, the ones that you feel most excited about communicating.
Yeah, that, okay, that makes sense.
Okay, good.
That's very helpful, thank you.
Sure. Yeah, so, I mean, that's how I would go about it. Start making connections, you know, off, not in a pitch context, but elsewhere, and start developing that idea that you can then repurpose and make unique for each individual sector around, you know, around many issues that impact women.
And Amanda, what other outlets do you think would be good connections or places to also look at for the work that I'm bringing to the table?
So I think that I think that podcasts are going to be really excellent, because you have experience as a speaker, you sound great on air, and you can find podcasts that specialize in lots of different niches that you can adapt your message to serve. You know, and the same thing goes for any kind of media. But what I would suggest is really finding any particular niche that, a women's interest niche, whether it's parenting, whether it's health and wellness, whether it's business, whether it's, I don't even know, where else could we go with that? Anything that impacts women, and saying, you know, if this is a health and wellness audience, what does this audience need to know about what I've discovered over the years? That's the question you could ask yourself over and over again. What does this audience need to know?
Yeah. You know, the image that comes to my mind is after I did the workshop that I have done the most, which is Voices, Who Are You Listening To?
Right.
What I get excited about is that with great consistency, I see women responding to taking a look at that pattern and how it holds them back. But more importantly, what do I do about it?
Right.
I feel solutions. Empowered because now I know what it is and how I'm doing it, and it doesn't have to hold me back.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Actionable advice is very popular right now. Okay, so I have one more question, Margo, that I like to ask everyone at the end of every interview. What piece of media, whether a television show or a radio program or a book or a movie or a news item, has had the biggest impact on you? Take us to the time and place and tell us why.
Well, I feel daily inspired, you know, through stories, through women's lives, through autobiography. More recently, I've been really obsessed with Malala. And I her video, her film, her book, follow her online. I think this extraordinary young woman has found her voice at such a young age in the context where she should not have, where she should have been silenced, where she should have stood in the shadows, where she should have leaned into fear in such a male-dominated society. And when I first heard her story, of course, I read as much as I could. But for example, last month, what I did is I took out her book and I began to document as well, what are the patterns that I'm observing in this woman? Because as I mentioned early, much of what I learned from the women that I have journeyed with, really noting that women often have it within themselves. They just need some nurturing to release it. And I mean, this is a woman who has, well, it was interesting. The last time that I read her book and began to take notes on what she was doing, I then began to compare it to the 8 different things that I had seen and thought and noted that were important moves for women to make in order to find their voice. And over and over and over again, I saw Malala doing that. And where it came from and why it was nurtured, you know, all of that is important. But watching how she does it is just amazing. I think she is an extraordinary young woman.
Yeah. And what great confirmation as well for you to see your what you've witnessed and what you've collected from your experience borne out in someone that in real time who's living their life.
Oh, yes. And absolutely.
And that's another way as well to get to kind of like enter the media conversation is by tapping into those cultural touchstones, those news events, and offering commentary based on your experience, your professional experience.
Yeah. And again, I think that it does two things. It verifies that these patterns that I'm noticing with women are found, again, in the women who have found their voice. But in women like Malala, we can continue to learn and observe what is she doing and what can we learn from her as we continue to move forward to impact the world and bring our gifts.
Right. Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great note to end on. And I'm really looking forward to learning more about what you've discovered and how that can lead to more empowerment in our world. So tell us where we can find you online.
You can find me at margotirado.com. That's margotirado.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. You can find me at amandaberlin.com. And if you like this show, please find us on iTunes and leave a rating and a review. It really helps us grow and reach and serve more people. Thank you so much, Margo.
Thank you, Amanda. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely.